Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's April 23rd, 2005, and another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Aria, Rebecca, and Ali, the Retrospectors.
All right, so here we are in front of the elephants. The cool thing about these guys is that they have really, really long trunks, and that's cool. And that's pretty much all there is to say. As a piece to camera, this would be a disastrous audition for a career in natural history television. But as the first ever YouTube video, Me at the Zoo, uploaded today in history in 2005, its script has extraordinary significance beyond its inadequacies.
Yeah, and the guy saying those history-making words is Javed Karim, who's often referred to as YouTube's silent co-founder, alongside the more prominent Stephen Chen and Chad Hurley. And he's filming it at San Diego Zoo. I mean, he's not really a natural on camera, but that's, you know, his background was not in broadcasting. He was a computer scientist by trade. He'd been born in East Germany to a Bangladeshi father and a German mother. The family moved to Minnesota. And he went on to study computer science, and in 2002, he got a job at the then new startup PayPal, which is where he worked alongside Chen and Hurley, who were working there at the same time.
And some commentators have looked back on this video and called it really the quintessential vlog format. You know, someone talking to the camera, in this case, Javed, kind of redundantly explaining what we're seeing anyway, while also making sexual innuendos, you know, really, really long, he pauses, trunks, which are designed to kind of make us feel a little bit left out and forced to live kind of vicariously through the person that we're watching. And, you know, it really is nothing. It's such a nothing video. But now I had a look back on it. It's had 260 million views, 13 million likes, 11 million comments, and he has 3.2 million subscribers to his channel, even though guess how many videos there are on it? One. Precisely one. This one.
Yes, although at the time he made the video, I guess it was him or one of the nine other people who worked at YouTube, because that's all there were. There were just 10 of them putting this startup together, which is astonishing when you think that a year later they sold to Google for $1.65 billion.
And that was a good deal Google.
There's like six people involved in the production of this. We are not going to sell to Google for $1.65 billion.
And bizarrely, YouTube, you know, this site that would ultimately completely shape the future of the internet, began as an idea rooted in the ultimate throwback, video dating. Mm. The founders apparently originally envisioned it as being an online version of, you know, sort of the 1980s tape-based matchmaking. And according to Karim in a later interview, it was to be called TuneIn Hookup. However, there proved to be little appetite for this. And so they resorted to taking out ads on Craigslist, offering women $20 to upload videos of themselves, but then gave up the idea. They could see it wasn't going to take off. So they decided to just launch it as a general video sharing platform. I mean, as you can imagine, Me at the Zoo did not set the world on fire. Later on, Javed was having an interview with the New York Times reporters. It was just after the Google acquisition. And he showed him video that he had shot of Stephen Chen bemoaning the fact that there were only 50 or 60 videos total on the site. I mean, I know you mentioned that there's only one video on Javed's account, but at the beginning there were more because he was flooding YouTube with clips of Boeing 747s taking off and landing just to make sure there was content on the front page for visitors to see. I mean, he later deleted all of those.
But making it easy to see video was a revolutionary concept. I mean, do you remember what it was like trying to watch a video online before this? We talked about this a little bit when we were talking about the trailer for Star Wars Phantom Menace being released online on the Star Wars website back then. Before YouTube, the way to do something like that, even when people had proto-broadband type connections at home, had to be downloading a million different formats for different, you know, there was WMV, there was MOV, there was Flash. And the simple thing about YouTube was you could upload and download and stream all on the same thing without having to think, without having to be technologically savvy to know what format it was in. But theoretically, anybody could do it. And I guess that, it seems ridiculous to overanalyze Me at the Zoo, but that's what is clever about what he's doing with this clip is he's showing that you don't need to put any effort into the production of it, theoretically.
Yeah, and in the same way that we've spoken about this in the past, but Jennifer Lopez kind of created Google image search because Google realized that everyone wanted to see this particular dress and her looking fantastic in it. The inspiration for the original YouTube founders was that they, after that famous Super Bowl halftime show where Justin Timberlake ripped off a part of Janet Jackson's costume, the three creators then went out looking for the online videos, and they were like, they're just not there. And why is that? It's because it's very, very hard for people, comparatively hard for people, to get that sort of content on the net, even though there would be massive appetite for people wanting to consume it, I guess, as they probably wanted to have a look at it themselves.
And by it, we are talking about Janet Jackson's bare boob, right? We know that there's like a tech bro origin of YouTube, but to have it so clearly delineated in sexist misogyny, as we have with Facebook, because of the Social Network movie, we know that that started as FaceMash and it was about ridiculing women who were at Harvard with Zuckerberg. I think people don't realise that YouTube, as you were saying, Rebecca, kind of came out of them trawling Craigslist for women to date, but also Janet Jackson's bare boobs and like a video version of Hot or Not. Do you remember Am I Hot or Not?
Yeah.
So it was, the idea was like, well, that's interesting. That's a website where people upload photos of themselves and then other people say whether they're sexy or not. What about a video version of that? And the concept is anyone can upload. That is technologically what ended up being YouTube. But the business about let's just compare women and say whether they're ugly or not. That was what was motivating this huge technological shift.
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing with the Janet Jackson Super Bowl halftime show is that it's not like you couldn't see the video. It's that the versions that you would see on the TV news would censor out the nipple, which is what they wanted to see. So it's not really that it was scarce. It was just they wanted to see stuff that wouldn't be curated to them. But, you know, the thing is, you really get the impression that when they started, they didn't really know where it was going to go. They knew that the technology of the video sharing in itself was valuable, but they didn't, you know, they couldn't produce enough content to fill it themselves, and they didn't really know what other people were going to use it for. But this really kind of cool thing happened, you know, within a couple of months the user base was creating the ecosystem. You know, they were just filling YouTube with clips of their pets, their children, their holidays. You know, it was like once the founders had put that technology out there, the rest of it in a way kind of created itself. You know, there was a major turning point in 2005 when a Nike promo video of Ronaldinho doing ball skills became the first YouTube video to get 1 million views, and that obviously set the precedent then for the ways in which brands and corporations could use it. But by this point, you know, the ordinary users had already made it a success.
But also you say that it kind of created itself, but at the same time, in those very early days, different things were being incorporated into YouTube that we now just recognize as the background of our world and the way that we interact with video online so swiftly. So for example, in May 2006, responses to videos were allowed for the first time. And then in June 2006, personalization of profiles. In May 2007, YouTube launched its partners program, knowing that people were going online and creating content, but they wanted a piece of the pie. They wanted to be able to make some money from it. And so they launched this way that people could actually get some money back. And one of the very early videos to capitalize from that was Charlie Bit My Finger, which is still a classic, by the way. I watched it back in anticipation of this episode. It's still so good. But all of those things meant that by July 2007, YouTube was partnering with CNN to host its first presidential debates. Like, this is such a rapid expansion into the mainstream of publishing. You know, they became this enormous website incredibly quickly.
Javid himself has not enjoyed all of the changes that have come to YouTube, and he has used this account, which obviously with this one video has gigantic reach. He has used it to voice those complaints. That's pretty much the only thing he's done with it. He doesn't speak publicly about YouTube. I can't find any interviews or clips of him talking really in the last 15 or so years
about anything at all. I mean, this is extraordinary. Nothing.
Living a completely private life. You know, at the time Google bought it, he told the New York Times he wanted to remain in grad school. He was at Stanford at the time and ultimately hoped for an academic career. I mean, he has gone on to do other things. You know, he formed a venture capital firm, but he stayed pretty much completely out of the public eye, which makes it all the more interesting that his only interventions have been through manipulating his YouTube account. So in 2013, when Google tried to make it so YouTube comments could only be posted from Google Plus accounts, and the big issue with that is that Google Plus accounts were tied to users' real identities, kind of like Facebook. Not many people then as now were keen to be publicly linked to their YouTube comment history. He changed his account description to read, "Why the F do I need a Google Plus account to comment on a video?" And the video description to, "I can't comment here anymore since I don't want a Google Plus account." Google quickly reversed that change, probably not through his intervention. In 2021, he was back. He used the video description to rally against the decision to remove the dislike button. The description is now, of this day, currently blank, suggesting he has no current major beef.
Now,
this episode first aired last year exclusively to members of Club Retrospectors.
Join today and unlock a new episode this Sunday.
Patreon.com/retrospectors.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.